Today is the 9th day of June. Wow, almost a third of the way through the month of June already. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is truly fantastic. And my heart is truly grateful to be here around the global campfire, to be here in this place that is safe. I need it, just like all of us do, and I need you. We need each other. I'm glad that we can take the next step forward together. It's so much better than taking the next step alone. So let's jump in. 1 Kings, chapters 5 and 6 today, and by way of reminder, we are in the reign of Solomon now, and we are moving through, like, let's really, really absorb this and enjoy this. We are moving through Israel's finest hour in the Bible. King Hiram of Tyre sent his servants to Solomon when he learned that Solomon had been anointed king to replace his father, because Hiram had been David's lifelong friend. Solomon sent this message to Hiram. You know that my father David was unable to build a temple dedicated to the Lord his God because he was busy fighting wars all around him until the Lord defeated his enemies. But now the Lord has given me rest all around, since I have neither foreign adversaries nor domestic crises. So now I'm planning to build a temple dedicated to the Lord my God, just as the Lord told my father when he said, your son, whom I will set on your throne to replace you, will build the temple dedicated to me. Now, therefore, please order that cedars of Lebanon be cut for me. My servants will work with your servants, and I will pay your servants whatever wages you set. Because, you know, there is no one among us who knows how to cut timber like the Sidonians do. As soon as Hiram received the message from Solomon, he became so ecstatic that he exclaimed, blessed be the Lord today, who has given David a wise son to rule this great people. Then he sent this message to Solomon. I have read the letter that you sent me. I'll do what you've asked about the cedar and cypress timber. My servants will transport them from Lebanon to the sea, where we'll make them into rafts and float them by sea to the port that you tell me to send them. We'll have them prepared for transport there, and then you can carry them from there. You can meet my needs by providing provisions for my household. That's how Hiram came to provide Solomon as much cedar and cypress timber as he needed. In return, Solomon paid Hiram 20,000 cores of wheat as food for his household, and 20 cores of beaten oil. Solomon provided this amount every year during the construction. The Lord continued giving Solomon wisdom, just as he had promised. And Hiram and Solomon entered into a peace treaty between themselves. King Solomon conscripted laborers from throughout Israel. The workforce numbered 30,000 men. He sent 10,000 men to Lebanon in shifts lasting 1 month. They worked 1 month in Lebanon for every 2 months they worked at home. Adoniram was placed in charge of the conscripted labor. Solomon also employed 70,000 heavy lift workers and 80,000 stonecutters in the hill country. Solomon also employed 3,300 officials to supervise the work and to manage the people employed in the construction. The king specified that large, expensive stones be quarried so the foundation of the temple could be laid with cut stones. As a result, Solomon's builders worked with Hiram's builders, accompanied by the Gebalites, to quarry the stone and to prepare the timber and other stone for the temple's construction. During the month of Ziv, which was the second month of the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, 480 years after the Israelites left the land of Egypt, Solomon began to build the Lord's temple. The temple for the Lord that Solomon was building was 60 cubits long and 20 cubits wide. A portico extended in front of the temple for 20 cubits outward, corresponding to the width of the temple. Along the front of the temple, its depth was 10 cubits. Solomon also constructed windows in the temple with specially designed frames. Against the wall of the temple, he built a series of rooms that encompassed the exterior of the temple walls around the inner sanctuary. He built these side chambers all around the building. The lower structures were 5 cubits wide, the middle structures were 6 cubits wide, and the third structures were 7 cubits wide. Offsets were placed all around the temple so that beams would not protrude through the walls of the temple. The temple was constructed of stone pre-cut at the quarry so that no hammer, axe, or any other iron implement would be heard in the temple while it was being built. A passageway to the side chamber was constructed on the south side by the temple by which people could ascend winding stairs to the middle story, and then from there to the third story. After Solomon built the temple and finished it, he covered the temple with beams and planks made of cedar. He constructed this structure to adjoin the entire temple, 5 cubits high, and fastened it to the temple with cedar timbers. Then this message from the Lord came to Solomon. Concerning this temple that you're building, if you live your life according to my statutes, carry out my ordinances, and keep all of my commands, and live according to them, then I will do what I promised to your father David. I will reside among the Israelis and will never abandon my people Israel. So Solomon kept on building the temple and finished it. Then he built the inside walls of the temple, lining them from floor to ceiling with cedar boards and overlaying the temple floor with boards made of cypress wood. He lined 20 cubits of the rear part of the temple from floor to ceiling with cedar boards specially constructed for the inside to serve as the most holy place. The rest of the main nave in the front was 40 cubits long. Cedar carvings in the form of gourds and blooming flowers covered the entire interior of the temple so that no stone could be seen. Solomon also prepared an inner sanctuary within the temple where the Lord's Ark of the Covenant was placed. The inner sanctuary was 20 cubits long, 20 cubits wide, and 20 cubits high, and overlaid with pure gold. The altar was also overlaid with cedar. Solomon overlaid the inside of the temple with pure gold, fastened gold chains across the front of the inner sanctuary, and overlaid it with gold. He finished the temple by overlaying it entirely with gold, including overlaying with gold the whole altar that was by the inner sanctuary. Inside the inner sanctuary, Solomon placed 2 cherubim crafted from olive wood, each 10 cubits high. Each wing of one cherub was 5 cubits long, and each wing of the other cherub was 5 cubits long, so that the distance from the end of one wing to the end of the other wing was 10 cubits. Each cherub was 10 cubits high, and both were of the same size and shape, the height of one cherub being 10 cubits, as was the height of the other. Solomon placed the cherubim in the middle of the inner sanctuary, with their wings spread in such a way that the wing of one was touching the one wall, and the opposite wing of the other cherub was touching the opposite wall. Furthermore, their wings in the center of the wall were touching each other, wing to wing. Each cherub was overlaid with gold. Solomon also inlaid all the inner walls of the temple, both the inner and outer sanctuaries, with carved engravings of cherubim, palm trees, and blooming flowers. He also overlaid the floor of the temple with gold in both the inner and outer sanctuaries. Solomon also provided doors, lintels, and 5-sided doorposts for the entrance to the inner sanctuary. He installed 2 doors made of olive wood, inlaying them with carvings of cherubim, palm trees, and blooming flowers, and overlaying them with gold. Then he added more gold to cover the cherubim and palm trees. Solomon also provided four-sided doorposts made of cypress wood for the entrance to the outer sanctuary, along with two doors of cypress wood, one door of which had two leaves that turned on hinges, as did the other door, which also had two leaves that turned on hinges. Solomon also inlaid the doors with cherubim, palm trees, and blooming flowers. He overlaid them with gold that was carefully applied on the engraved work. He constructed the inner court with three rows of pre-cut stone and a row of cedar beams. The foundation for the Lord's temple was laid in the month of Ziv during the fourth year of Solomon's reign, and the temple was completely finished according to its plans and specifications in the eighth month of the 11th year of Solomon's reign. That is, during the month of Bul. It took about 7 years to build. Acts 7, 1 through 29. Then the high priest asked, "Is this true?" Stephen replied, "Listen, brothers and fathers, the glorious God appeared to our ancestor Abraham while he was in Mesopotamia before he settled in Haran. God told him, 'Leave your country and your relatives and go to the land I'll show you.' So he left the country of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran. Then after the death of his father, God had him move to this country where you now live. God gave him no property here, not even a foot of land. Yet he promised to give it to him and to his descendants after him as a permanent possession, even though he had no child. This is what God promised. His descendants would be strangers in a foreign country, and its people would enslave them and oppress them for 400 years. But I will punish the nation they serve, said God. And afterwards they will leave and worship me in this place. Later, God gave Abraham the covenant of circumcision. Later, he fathered Isaac and circumcised him on the eighth day. Then Isaac fathered Jacob, and Jacob fathered the 12 patriarchs. Joseph's brothers became jealous of him and sold Joseph as a slave in Egypt. However, God was with him and rescued him from all his troubles. He granted him favor and wisdom before Pharaoh, king of Egypt, who appointed him ruler of Egypt and of his whole household. But a famine spread throughout Egypt and Canaan, and with it great suffering, and our ancestors couldn't find any food. But when Jacob heard that there was grain in Egypt, he sent our ancestors on their first trip. On their second trip, Joseph made himself known to his brothers, and Joseph introduced his family to Pharaoh. Then Joseph invited his father Jacob and all his relatives to come to him in Egypt, 75 persons in all. So Jacob went down to Egypt. Then he and our ancestors died. They were brought back to Shechem and laid in the tomb that Abraham had bought at a high price from Hamor's descendants in Shechem. Now as the time approached for the fulfillment of the promise that God had made to Abraham, the people's population increased a great deal in Egypt. Eventually, a different king who had not known Joseph became ruler of Egypt. By shrewdly scheming against our people, he oppressed our ancestors and forced them to abandon their infants to the elements so that they wouldn't live. At this time, Moses was born. He was beautiful in the sight of God, and for 3 months he was cared for in his father's house. When he was placed outside, Pharaoh's daughter adopted him and brought him up as her own son. So Moses learned all the wisdom of the Egyptians and became a great man, both in words and in deeds. When he was 40 years old, he decided to visit his brothers, the descendants of Israel. When he saw one of them being mistreated, he defended him and avenged the man who was being mistreated by killing the Egyptian. He supposed that his brothers would understand that God was using him to rescue them. What they didn't understand. The next day he presented himself to some of them while they were fighting and tried to reconcile them. He said, "Men, you are brothers. Why should you be hurting one another?" But the man who was harming his neighbor pushed Moses away and said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? You don't want to kill me like you killed the Egyptian yesterday, do you?" Because of this, Moses fled and lived as a foreigner in the land of Midian. There, he had two sons. Psalm 127. A Solomonic Song of Ascents. God's Blessing in the Family. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor uselessly. Unless the Lord guards the city, its security forces keep watch uselessly. It is useless to get up early and stay up late, eating the food of exhausting labor. Truly, he gives sleep to those he loves. Children are a gift from the Lord. A productive womb, the Lord's reward. As arrows in the hand of a warrior, so also are children born during one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. He will not be ashamed as they confront their enemies at the city gates. Proverbs 16:28 through 30. A deceitful man stirs dissension, and anyone who gossips separates friends. A violent man entices his companion and leads him on a path that is not good. Whoever winks knowingly is plotting deceit. Anyone who purses his lips is bent towards evil. Okay, so I mentioned, you know, we're moving through a very brief, very intense period in the life of the children of Israel when Solomon is their king, who is bringing them into their finest hour. And so we witnessed one of Solomon's crowning achievements today, the construction of the temple of God, which was no small feat. It was a 7-year project to build, and it became the physical representation of God's presence among his people, as well as the foundation of Israel's identity. So the temple that we saw built today by Solomon, this is not the temple that the Jesus would have known. Solomon's time is known as the first temple period, as a way of studying the different eras of ancient Israel. Jesus lived during the time of what we know as the second temple, or the Herodian temple. And before we finish the book of Kings, we'll understand why the temple of Jesus' day was different than the temple that we're seeing Solomon build. And then moving into the New Testament and watching things rapidly accelerate in the book of Acts, yesterday we saw the establishment of a group of people that were consecrated to serve the church, to serve the believers. These people were known as deacons. And one of them that was appointed was named Stephen. And even though Stephen's a godly man, he was arrested for allegedly blasphemy, profaning God, profaning the teachings of Moses. And so he's under arrest, called before the council, and it's demanded that he defend himself, right? So his testimony. We began to hear that defense, that testimony today. And it should sound familiar because Stephen started at the beginning and began to recite the origin story of the Hebrew people, of which he is one. And that is not just, like, he didn't just randomly start there. This is very intentional. He's defending himself. He's retelling the complete story to prove that he is a Hebrew, but he also grew up with this heritage and he knows where he came from. And he's not trying to abolish Moses' teachings. And he's certainly not committing blasphemy. But as we listen to the testimony, we have this pretty rare opportunity in the New Testament to pretty well review where we've been throughout the Old Testament this year. And so we began this testimony of Stephen defending himself today, and over the next few days, we'll continue listening to that and touching all of those stories that we've already been through, which really kind of is a beautiful review and allows us to kind of connect back. In the end, we'll experience the outcome of his testimony, of his defense. And then, Psalm 127 is one of my favorites. First couple of verses are some of my, life verses. Unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builder is wasted. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries isn't going to do any good. It's useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat. Because God gives rest to those he loves. I don't know about you, but too much of my life was lived at a frantic pace. With this anxiety churning in my belly like a Brillo pad, that I'm falling further behind. So, like, if that sounds familiar, the reading from Psalms is worth it. If God isn't included in, like, if God isn't guiding and building, the labor's in vain. We're driving ourselves in ways that are going to be pointless. We're going to wake up one day and our life is going to be flying by. And what is it meant? So heeding to, taking on board what the psalmist is saying is so important. It doesn't matter what we set our hands to do. Unless God is at the foundation of those plans and motives, the labor is useless. If we're collaborating with God, though, in our lives, nothing will be wasted. We will have rest, and it will mean something. So, Father, we invite you into that. Purpose and meaning. It's something that drives us forward and drives us in all kinds of unhealthy ways to make our mark, to be sure that they don't forget us, whoever they are, when we're gone. We drive ourselves unto what? And that's kind of what's coming out in the psalm today. If you aren't present and a part of what's happening, then it's in vain. Help us, Holy Spirit, to examine what we are doing in vain. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app. These are home base, and it's where you find out what's going on around here. And big something. Big something's going on around here. So I told a story yesterday of how a brand new resource came to be. So if you haven't got to listen to that story, just go back to the end yesterday and you can hear that whole story. But I ultimately introduced the first in a line of resources that we are creating called Spiritual Connection Cards. And I don't want to tell the whole story again, but connection cards are very, because you'll have used them from a therapy perspective, like to share story, to learn to listen, to be guided in conversation, to be guided deeper into any number of conversations that need to be had. They're available at gift shops everywhere. Silly, crazy stuff. You know, super naughty stuff, all kinds of stuff. But one thing that we saw missing was, although there are all kinds of different ways to have connection, really intentionally connecting spiritually to God and from God, well, that didn't exist until now. And so we were able to trademark that and begin this work. So through a really long process, and again, like, I don't want to tell the whole story again, go back to yesterday and you can hear the whole story. We began to think of questions from God's perspective and questions that we may have that we would ask of God in the fog of war, basically, when things are not making sense, or we've experienced betrayal or some kind of injustice in some sort of way. Or just life, like how to just engage. Because obviously a connection to God, that communication, that's what we call prayer. But prayer is communicating with God. Like, communicating is an absolute essential necessity for any relationship. There isn't a relationship without communication. And so, what about our connection to God? And so we created these 54 cards. Half of them are questions from God, like things that God would ask us that we need to sit and answer and think about. And then half of them are questions to God that we may need to ask, that it may be a way of giving language into some things that we need to talk about. All of them are accompanied and rooted in the scriptures, even though, you know, they were very well researched and consulted from a mental health perspective as far as what human need and human brokenness might look like in our spirituality. And so we have introduced, and I want to say surprisingly, but this is one of the ones, I mean, there's some things that we're doing this year, and this is one of the things that it wasn't a surprise that the interest and energy around this would be pretty big, and it's been huge. So so like just even in the first day, just flying. And so I really, really believe in what we're doing here and resourcing this community in very creative, unique ways that connect us to each other, connect us to God, and connect us to the scriptures as the center of it all. And this is like right down the middle. Like, this is a very unique resource that is also very practical, very intentional. And so just go to the Daily Audio Bible Shop, whether you're using the new app or the new web. Just go to the new shop, because it is a brand new place. And we've created a landing page for this. And so it's, it's all there for you to investigate. And yeah, grab yourself a pack of these. And maybe you're feeling like, yes, the need, is so clearly there in our spiritual walk that you want to give some to some friends or couples or, you know, whoever. If you grab 5 of these decks, we'll send you the 6th one free. Regardless, though, this is a brand new resource that was labored in love and prayer, and we could not be more excited to get this resource into as many hands as possible, because, man, it's gonna be a rescue, and it's also just gonna be a deepening, just a way of engaging in conversation and an intimacy with God that we are familiar with, but maybe not have ever really engaged with spiritually. So check out the brand new spiritual connection cards in the Daily Audio Bible shop. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, you can do that at dailyaudiobible.com. There is a link on the homepage. And thank you humbly, profoundly, deeply for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that is it for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Courteous in the Commonwealth. And I'm just calling to ask for your prayer again for my healing from the car accident and the traumatic brain injury that I suffered. I'm feeling better, and my numbers are going up, and my memory is improving. Been separated from my wife, Angie, since March 14th. She's been going through the breast cancer for well over a year now, and finished up her surgery for reconstruction and is home and healing. Lord, I just pray that I will focus on me. Please pray that she continues to heal, and that if it is God's will, she will finally speak to a counselor at some point. She said she wants to, but we'll see. Lord, I just put it in your hands, and I turn it all over to you. Every last inch of me, every corner, I dedicate, Lord, to you. Help me to continue to focus on myself and to continue my own healing, so that if and when she's ready to sit down and talk about our marriage, I will be ready. Lord, give her peace. Heal every bone in her body, every cancer cell that may still exist, just remove it. What a horrible journey this has been physically on her, and a strain, but mostly on her mind. Lord, help her to feel your love and peace, and me too. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
I'm so nervous about this because it has been probably 6 years since I've been on the DAB community, and I have submitted a prayer request. It's been a long time. And in this last 4 years or so, my walk with God has been shallow, and I went through crazy depression, got through it, and it's been rough. And Lord, I just need to be close to you again. At one point in my life, I was on fire for your word, and I was consuming it. It was the center of my life, and now it's hard for me to want to read scripture. It's hard for me to want to pray. I can't remember the last time my wife and I sat down together and prayed. It's been a really weird time in my life, just trying to get back to that new normal. And I'm so thankful that God led us to an incredible church in that time frame, because we were a part of a church that was just so not supportive of us. And then we found one that is. And right as I was shifting into this downward spiral of dry spell, and I'm thankful that because of the strength of the church community we've been in, that has kind of helped me to stay afloat. But I want the best of both worlds. And Lord, I ask that you please help me to be hungry for you again, so that I can lead my family and I can pray for my children, and that I can pray for others that are in this community that need to be strengthened and encouraged. I'm tired of being stuck in this dry spell. I need freedom from it.
We come before the throne of grace and we continue to pray for our dabbers in this community. We lift up from June 6th prayer request, Juana in Texas. She's a widow, Lord, and lonely, and she's been a widow for a long time. Send the right people into her life to be companions and close friends so that she can enjoy doing things and not have so many hours alone. We lift up also her prayer request for Maria for a new job, for David for his eyes to be healed, Odelia for a new home, her grandson David for the skin issues to be healed, and the two other grandchildren also. They all need protection, and we are trusting, Lord, that they will all receive salvation and will praise you and serve you in the name of Jesus. We lift up Kinsey on the prayer wall for the pain in the legs and arms. Father God, you are the great physician. We turn this over to you, Lord, and we are seeking and asking for complete recovery. For Alice Moore on the DAB Friends page, who is depressed and isolated and lonely, we're asking for the same things for her, Lord, for this loneliness to be replaced with joy and companionship, that she is no longer isolated because she has friends and people to do things with and to go to church with and do community events with, and that her depression is sent back to the pits of hell where it came from, and that she will be filled with joy instead. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray as we are caught up with everything this week except for the brand new prayers and encouragement for June 6th. Thank you, Father God, for helping me get these prayers caught up. Praise you, Jesus.
My name is Roberta, and after 23 years of an emotionally abusive marriage, my husband and I are in the middle of a divorce. He's with another woman, and neither of them are saved. My older two kids are not saved as well. So I'm asking for prayer for a Saul to Paul experience for my husband, salvation for the other woman and my children, and if it's the Lord's will, to be restored back to the marital covenant. And I just ask for strength for myself to get by each day and to know that the Lord is here with me and know how to move on after 23 years and packing up this house. It just feels so lonely, and it feels like all the weight is pulled on me. And I just ask for prayer for strength and wisdom. Thank you.
This is Don in Texas. I'm asking for prayer for my beautiful wife, Barbara. She has fallen twice in recent months and broken both of her hips. Along with dementia, it's been a real struggle. She's had rehab, but no improvement with her ability to stand up and walk with a walker in 40 days. So I just lift up Barbara to you. I covet your prayers. I love the prayers of the Daily Audio Bible people. I just love it. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Lisa from Washington, and I was just listening to June 7th, Daily Audio Bible, and I heard one traveling chick from Texas talk about how life has been so hard and that there's nothing left but Jesus. I was really encouraged to think that that's exactly where God finally wanted you, is that you are in a place where you have nothing but Him. That's what He wants. He wants you to totally rely on Him. Not that He wants all the tough and all the situations you've been going through, but He does want you, no matter what, to be totally and completely reliable or relying on Him. I kind of feel like it's like you're falling, like, you know, the trust fall where you just let yourself fall. That's what He wants. Just fall into His arms and let Him take care of everything. And know that I am praying for you with all my heart and will continue to pray that you see and feel that relief as you just fall into His arms. In Jesus' name.